Hey, it's good to be with you. My name's Steve. Someone said to me today, you didn't dress up for Christmas very well. And I went, you think this took a little bit of time? Well, I went into somewhere, shops today, and a Santa walked past me and he said, that's a great beard. And I'm going to go around all the shopping centres this week flexing at Santa, like that. But today is the last Sunday of Advent, the lead up to Christmas. It's an historical season. Hundreds of years we've had Advent, and the series we've been looking at is What Are You Waiting For? Advent means arrival or the coming of Jesus, and we've had hope, peace, joy the last couple of weeks, and now we've got onto love. And as Dan was saying, the one thing you don't love about Christmas is the car park, isn't it? You don't love the car parks at Christmas around the place, and car parks are good places when you park behind someone to read the bumper stickers. Everyone read bumper stickers on cars and think, those are appropriate, those are not appropriate. I will tell this one later. I saw a few this last few weeks. Proud parent of a child whose self-esteem doesn't depend on minor scholastic achievements being displayed on a car bumper. Guess whose kid got a C minus? Yeah? It's true. And real men use three pedals. If I had to explain that to any men here afterwards, are you really a man? Using the word men loosely. This one I think is a bit dangerous, especially if you're driving it around in the US at the moment. Trump lost. Lol. A lot of those guys pack in heat, so I wouldn't be driving around with that on the back of my car. And this one was just way too meta. My other car is another car that has a sticker that says my other car is this car. I smacked into the back of it and said, you better be driving your other car now because I've just totaled your car. But Aussies, we love to cut to the chase with bumper stickers. And I saw this, I love stuff. I love stuff. What sort of stuff? Well, just stuff, you know. We tell it like it is here in Australia. We love stuff. What do we love? We love stuff. When do we love it? Well, we really love it at Christmas, don't we? We really love stuff at Christmas. At Christmas, Aussies show their love of stuff by purchasing huge amounts of stuff. It's true. Now, stuff is harder to come by in the COVID world with the global supply chain down and all that, and we do get a bit antsy waiting for that Amazon package filled with all the stuff we love. But we love stuff, and we will find that out this week. But just have a look at how much stuff we actually love. The average Aussie will spend $1,232 this Christmas on presents, food, alcohol, eating out, and travel. And travel in WA means a trip to Costco at the airport. Add that up, it's $23.9 billion at Christmas Aussies will spend. That's a lot of stuff. There's a whole lot of stuff to love. And I did some of the stats, and there's Australia there, and Victoria was way out in front with all the figures, and New South Wales was next, and come on, West Aussies, we can spend the rest. But Tasmania, it looked, was not buying any stuff because it's not Christmas there for another 6 months, I think. I don't know what happened to the NT, and Canberra looks like it's full of Grinches, but most of us were spending a lot of stuff. And then you can break it down a little bit more. Millennials plan to spend the most this Christmas. And here they are saying they can't save up a deposit, $1,518. Well, that's smashed avocado, a dollar an avocado. Now, who's the Grinch this Christmas? Baby boomers. Baby boomers, you know who you are. Some of you are forgetting who you are, but baby boomers plan to spend the least, $930. That's a lot of socks and jocks. That's still a lot of money, isn't it? And Gen X, that's me, will spend the most on gifts, $406. Probably retro vinyl, Smashing Pumpkins and The Cure and stuff like that to relive their miserable youths. But millennials will spend the most on eating out and alcohol. Gifts for themselves, really. And who spends, look, here's the gender gap. You know, there may be a gender gap. This goes the other way with spending. Women fork out $434 each on gifts on average. Pause. What about the men? Come on, men. 39% more than the men at $313. Because we're tight, aren't we, men? And we're bad at buying presents, and we outsource it to our wives and our girlfriends. See, the evidence is in, isn't it? We Aussies love stuff and never love it so much as at Christmas. But we really do know, don't we? Everyone here today knows that Christmas is not all about loving the stuff. It's about the people who give us the stuff, isn't it? That's why you're here. That's why it's packed out. You've seen the Coles ad, and we showed it last week at church. Everyone gathered together after all the borders are down in some mythical land called Australia, and for all the joy we've been waiting for, and it's people sitting around tables and people giving presents to each other, the stuff has meaning because of the people. The stuff has meaning because of the people and the person who gives you the stuff. But imagine loving stuff, but not the person who gave it. Loving the gift, but not the giver. And look, that verse was read by Vanessa a little earlier on. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. We read today exactly what I just said there. It's possible to love something that's been gifted to you without loving the person who gifted it to you. And it's right there in the Bible. It says, this is love. Then there's a, you know, the grammatical, the colon there that goes, this is love. And you're going, yeah, tell us about love. This is love. Explain to me what love is. But do you notice it doesn't start with what love is? It starts with not love. This is love. Okay, tell me about love. Not. Oh, right. Not that we loved God. Not that we loved God. That sounds a bit grinchy at Christmas, doesn't it? With all that love flying around to say not love. See, the point of this verse is that the definition of love and the wellspring of love doesn't come from us. It doesn't come from us, no matter how gooey we feel at Christmas. The whole Christmas story isn't about love springing from us. The passage goes on that love springs from God. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. He loved us. And he just doesn't do it in the abstract. He just doesn't love us in the abstract. It's a nice feeling. It's going to go on to say that. See, the story of the Bible is that tells us that all the stuff we have, God is the giver of all that stuff. The Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes from him. Everything you enjoy this Christmas comes from him. And he says it's a gift from a creator God to you, all this stuff, to enjoy. I put those stats up there, but I don't really feel guilty because the stuff's not really the problem. That's not the problem at all. Now, we might get more and more stuff because of the problem and just keep getting more and more stuff. But the problem is not loving the giver of all that stuff. That's the problem. See, this verse goes on to describe what it means to not love God. The last word there says our sins. The last two words, sins. Now, maybe in our culture today, we think of sins as a bit of a naughty word. The height of sin is eating two ice creams. But sin has a deeper meaning than that. It's the act of humans rebelling against God, doing the things that they want and not the things that God wants. But there's more to it. If you're sitting there thinking, what's the worst sin I could possibly have? What's the biggest sin in the world? Is it some big steaming pile of evil? Well, it says it here. This is love, not that we love God. See, the biggest sin in the Bible is not loving God. And you can do that by shaking your fist in his face, or you can do that just by loving the stuff and not loving him. It's an affront to him as the giver. And all the other sins we do spring from that first sin of not loving God. We love the gifts, the stuff. We don't love the giver of the gifts. And at Christmas, I'd have to say that's the height of grinchiness, to go a whole Christmas without thinking about loving God. So you've got to practice that. How would you take it if someone, if you gave great stuff to someone this Christmas who didn't care for you at all, who either ignored you or clearly didn't love you at all? Now, what would you do? Look, at the very least, you'd keep the receipt, right? At the very least. Or you'd re-gifting. Anyone don't even show your hand. Anyone re-gifting? At best, if they were family and they didn't love you and you go, oh, it's old Uncle so-and-so again, I'll just re-gift this, what he gave me last year. You wouldn't give your best stuff to someone who didn't care for you. But you know something? That's exactly what God does to those who don't love or care for him. How does God respond to our not that we loved God? Well, it says that he gives us his best stuff. He loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. You sing it all the time in the Christmas carols. We've sung them so often we don't pick it up. The cross is right there at the cradle. God gives us his best gift by sending his son. That's the point of Christmas. God loves the ones who don't love him. And he shows it by sending his best gift ever, his son. But this passage just doesn't say that God sends his son to us. We sing about that at Christmas. This baby came to the world, joy to the world. But that he gave his son for us, in our place, as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. You see, loving stuff, but not loving God, the giver of the stuff, has a penalty attached to it, according to the Bible. Not a financial penalty, not a time-out penalty, but a death penalty. A death penalty. In his love, God gifts his son to us and for us. How? By paying the death penalty for us. It's an atoning sacrifice. It's a gift exchange. Jesus gives his life for us, and we give him our sin. What an exchange. In his death on a cross, which we celebrate at Easter, Jesus pays the death penalty for us. And the verse before the one we've just got up there reads like this. This is how God showed his love among us. It's just saying the same thing in a slightly different way. He sent his one and only son, his best gift possible, into the world that we might live through him. And how did we live through him? By him being an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The exchange: death for Jesus, life for us. Life for us. That's the Christmas message. We love stuff. And we don't love the giver of the stuff. And the giver of the stuff loves us so much, he gives us the best gift ever in exchange for our sin. Jesus gets death. We get life. Remember that number? $1,232. That's how much the average Aussie will spend this Christmas. And it seemed high at the start, didn't it? That seemed like a big payout. But it kind of seems low, doesn't it? Compared to what God spent on us, because Christmas cost God everything. Cost God everything. Now, I know we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but fast forward to Christmas 2022, if we dare. Another 371 days. Imagine if a bumper sticker appeared on your car which reflected what was going on in your head while you're driving down the road. Who would like that? Anyone? But imagine if it said on the back of it, "I love stuff." What would it say about you? What would a bumper sticker on the back of the car say? If you're a follower of Jesus here today, the call is to love God more in the year that's coming because of what he's done for us in Jesus. But would a bumper sticker reveal that you love stuff more than you love the God who gave you all that stuff and gave you his son as well? But if you're not Christian here today, welcome along. It's great to have you. It's great to have you. Can I suggest that the stuff isn't enough? And we know it's not enough. We know it's not enough because Australia is one of the wealthiest countries in the world, and we still feel like something's a little bit missing. Because we know that the stuff that thrills us in 6 days' time won't even cross our minds next year. We'll be looking for the next stuff. Let me suggest to you that God, the giver of all good gifts, he's actually the gift you're looking for. God gives us great gifts, but the gift, the best gift he gives us is the gift of himself. And at Christmas, we're reminded again that God gave Jesus to us and God gave Jesus for us. That's the stuff that really matters at Christmas. And if you want to talk to someone afterwards about, I don't know, stuff like that, come and see us. Don't wait till next Christmas. Come and see us. We'll be sitting down the front, or speak to one of the people at the door and say you might want to have a chat about it. Maybe come again on Christmas morning and hear more about this Jesus, this one who loved us so much that he gave himself for us, the greatest gift we can have. Amen.